Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas. Thank you for tuning in, and thanks to everyone who continues to send us their feedback and ideas. It's always great to get your thoughts on the little ways that we can make the show even better for you, our listeners. So keep them coming, along with any story ideas you might have, by writing to us via our website, and that's getsleepy.com. Remember, the more you tune in, the more effective the podcast will be at putting you to sleep. So wherever you get your podcasts, be sure to follow or subscribe and listen in every night. If you'd like to hear more Get Sleepy stories and meditations, you can do just that by signing up to Get Sleepy Premium. You'll be helping us to keep the podcast on the air whilst getting some great benefits, such as a completely ad-free podcast feed, access to our entire back catalogue, and a new exclusive episode every Thursday. Tomorrow on Get Sleepy Premium, we have a nature story, read by Simon, called The Resurrection Plant. If you're interested in signing up, go to our website at getsleepy.com/support. Or even simpler than that, the link can be found in the show notes to find out more. Tonight's episode is supported by our friends at Blue Blocks. The damaging effects of blue light can cause digital eye strain. The founders of Blue Blocks were unhappy with the quality and lack of science behind the leading blue light blocking brands. Other companies were mass producing unevidence-backed products with little understanding about how light impacts health. Blue Blocks was created to change this, with high-quality lenses for daytime, nighttime, and for colour therapy, exactly in line with the suggested peer-reviewed academic literature. From my own experience with the Blue Blocks sleep lenses, I can highly recommend these for anybody who struggles to wind down or feel tired towards bedtime. So get your energy back, sleep better, and block out the unhealthy effects of blue light with Blue Blocks. Go to blueblocks.com today, get free shipping worldwide, and 15% off with the code SLEEPY. That's blueblocks.com, and use the code SLEEPY for 15% off. Now for tonight's story, TK will be reading to you, and you can allow your imagination to run free as we experience a place that few humans have been to before. Outer space. In this dreamy adventure, we get a glimpse of the great beyond on our way to the International Space Station. So, let's prepare for takeoff into a sleepy outer space. Take a nice deep breath in, and slowly release the air back out. Notice how your body becomes heavier as you exhale. Let's do one more of those nice, deep breaths. Breathing in and back out. Feel your muscles let go and relax for the night. As you listen to my voice, you may just feel yourself starting to drift along that pleasant border between conscious thought and sleepy, sweet dreams. So feel the comfort of your bed surrounding you. It will be your space shuttle into the cosmos tonight. Notice what it feels like to be wrapped up and cozy in bed. This snug feeling is in part created by the same force that will allow us to orbit the Earth tonight. Gravity. So let your mind drift toward the stars, because our rocket ship into outer space is about to take off in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You may not think about the pull of gravity very often, but this powerful force is always acting on you. Right now, it's pulling you snugly down into your bed. Gravity is constantly attracting countless gas molecules, creating a blanket of air around the Earth. This blanket allows you to breathe. It's our atmosphere. Take another deep breath of that refreshing air now. And as you let it out, develop a sense of floating on water. This is the closest experience we have to zero gravity here on Earth. There's that sensation of weightlessness, laying perfectly still with your arms and legs stretched out. You can float on the top of the water. Pay close attention to these sensations. Little ripples atop the surface of the water cause you to sway gently. As you breathe in, your body floats a bit higher atop the water. As you breathe out, your body sinks just an inch or two, allowing those ripples of water to wash across your belly. This is just buoyancy, not zero gravity like in space, but it's close enough to use as a training ground for astronauts. Wearing their spacesuits, astronauts dive into massive swimming pools for hours on end. They carry out spacewalks to get accustomed to the sensations and difficulties of moving in space. Handles line every surface. Trainees must use one hand to hold themselves in place while they perform tasks with the other hand. If they let go, they are tethered to the underwater workspace to prevent them from floating away. The same is true for real spacewalks. Being tethered in is even more important in space because you can't swim back. This might make you appreciate the reliability of gravity here on Earth. It allows you to experience the gratification of sitting down after a long walk. That's a common excitement for astronauts returning to Earth, just sitting down. There's something quite special about it that we take for granted, about giving your body weight into something that will fully support you, like your bed or a comfy chair. So it's when you begin to float that you realize you're no longer on Earth. You're weightless. Now, you've reached outer space. You're wearing a white astronaut's uniform, thick, cozy, and protective. You look down and check your seatbelt, safe and secure. You can't float too far, just an inch or two off of your seat. The navigation system in front of you is dotted with colored blinking lights. As the force of gravity fades, a new sense of stillness takes its place. Out here, you'll experience microgravity, not zero gravity. The Earth still has a slight pull. It's what allows your ship to remain in orbit. You've always wondered what it's like in space, and now you're starting to find out. You're on a trip to the International Space Station, a spacecraft operated and manned by multiple nations that orbits Earth at about 250 miles. It's the first home base for humans in space, where we can collect information and conduct experiments not possible on our home planet. You hear the recognizable buzz of a radio, followed by information from the ground command center. You've reached orbit. Now, it's safe to leave your seat. You reach down and unbuckle your seatbelt. When you let go, the seatbelt continues to float upwards. Your body follows it. At first, you hold on to the armrests out of instinct, but then you release your hands and feel true weightlessness for the first time. There's not much to it. That's what's odd. You're just drifting. Nothing holds you in any one direction. With your hands, you give a gentle push off the seat. It sends you slowly towards the ceiling of the cabin. It's not really the ceiling anymore, though. There's no up or down. You stretch your arm out and grab onto a handle, stopping your body's motion. It's effortless. Not like pressing against the ground or a wall on Earth. You twist your arm, turning yourself around. It's time for a first look outside. Using the line of handles along the wall, you push and pull yourself carefully towards the small round window to your left. Now you have a planetary perspective of our home. Although you may have imagined this moment a few times, you cannot help feeling overwhelmed. Seeing planet Earth below you is absolutely surreal. but you can't see the whole circle of the Earth. At this altitude, you can only see a small part of our planet. In fact, you can barely figure out what part of Earth you're looking at. There are no shapes that you can recognize. But as you're orbiting, this magnificent view will change, and you'll begin to recognize its geography. The most noticeable aspect is its color. Our planet looks so bright and blue. You are directly above an ocean. Its majestic blue waters are captivating. Here and there, white clouds dot the surface. They look fragile, like cotton candy. From up here, the ocean has no waves or movement. It seems frozen. But you know a vast array of life and activity is going on beneath its surface. How mysterious. You always knew most of the Earth was covered by water, but nothing has put that into perspective like this view. You see the atmosphere extending from the edge of this massive sphere. A soft layer of air extending beyond the surface of the Earth. It's like a floating blanket. Closer to ground, it's dense. Then it quickly becomes thinner, fading into the sky of all skies. It's darker than the night, peaceful and silent. Through the ship's thick window, you don't see any stars, but you know that the pitch black beyond is a star-studded sea. You smile. You feel blessed to live in an age where space is not just a magical wonder or place of the gods. A beep from the navigation system signals that you're approaching your destination. Slowly pulling yourself along the handholds, you get back to your seat. It still feels strange to put on a seatbelt without actually sitting down. Looking through the forward window, you notice what looks like a bright star drawing near. Slowly, it begins to take shape. Solar arrays are the first thing you can make out. 4 large ones protrude outward on each side. Then, the modules, or habitable spaces, come into view. Slowly, it becomes bigger and more impressive. The spacecraft and the station are now at the same altitude. As you approach docking, the speed of your spacecraft decreases. The distance diminishes. Small propulsion systems adjust the speed and direction of your spacecraft in minute degrees. The docking mechanisms must align perfectly to lock. A gentle bump, followed by a mechanical click, signal you've made contact. Your spacecraft is safely docked. Cheers sound over the radio as the personnel at ground control celebrate the success. You're now attached to this phenomenal space lab that will become your temporary home. After a whoosh of depressurization, you lift the lever and open the hatch. On the other side of this small round door is the International Space Station. Now that you're here, you'll really get to experience life in space. you're welcomed by a crew of 3 astronauts. They're smiling, happy that you've arrived. Aside from each other, you're the first real face they've seen in weeks. Even in space, their hugs still feel warm. Seeing them is like you've found a piece of home. After a few minutes of introductions, you get a tour. Using handlebars along the walls of the modules, you fly through the space station corridors, guided by your new friends. The station has many laboratories, each with computers and all sorts of research and monitoring devices. You see special equipment used for experiments, cameras pointed at the planet below, and colorful buttons with very important functions. Some of the rooms remind you of offices, but this is unlike any workstation on Earth. Everything is secured to a wall or other surface, otherwise they'll float away. You can even perform your task using the ceiling. You think about it for a second. How would it be to work upside down? Back home, it would be challenging, if not impossible. But in space, all you need to do is turn your body. Now you are floating towards the service module. This is the heart of the space station. It serves many functions, like guidance, navigation, and living space. You take a moment to look around. It's even more crowded than the other units. As you get accustomed to your new home, you think of the people who have built all this. You appreciate how much work must have gone into anything here. Every bit of room along the walls is put to use. It took hundreds of people and years of work to create this. And the work of those individuals was built upon the work of those before them, physicists and astronomers. How amazing it is that we can create things that work outside of the rules of our own world. This is truly an accomplishment by all of humanity. After passing through the service module, you reach the back of the space station. Your guide has saved the best for last. Even before entering this unit, you see a bright light shining from the entrance. Excited, you give yourself another gentle push. As you float through the entryway, the universe is revealed. It's the observatory room, a compact dome with 7 large windows. You allow yourself to float toward the largest window, which faces Earth. You place your hands on the window to stop your motion and press your face up to the thick glass like a child, gazing awestruck into an aquarium. You're speechless. Through the 7 windows, planet Earth looks even more impressive. Its brightness is magnetic. Its cloud clusters remind you of fresh snow. If you don't know what to say, that's normal, your new friend remarks with a wink. He gives you a few moments to breathe in the beauty. Now, you're all alone. The planet has your full attention. Despite flying around 250 miles above Earth, You feel so connected to the world you grew up in. It will forever be your home. You think of your family, your life, of what it means to be a human being. It's awfully quiet up here, you think. The usual noises of life on Earth are miles away. The laughter of children playing in a park. The patter of raindrops against a window. The loving voice of a mother. On Earth, you hear so many different sounds on a daily basis. Here, there's just the static hum of machines and an occasional radio communication that interrupt the stillness. Beyond the space station, the cosmos are as silent as they are dark. There's something comforting about sound, you realize. It's a constant confirmation that you're not the only thing. Something else is there with you. You take a last look outside and return to your colleagues, who are now in the kitchen area. It's time for your first meal in space. Drawers on the walls contain a selection of different foods, most of which are dehydrated, to preserve it without refrigeration. A small silver table covered in Velcro tape is on the side of the room. The Velcro keeps things from floating away. The table is at an angle. It's easier to use that way because you don't need to worry about spilling your soup in space. All food and drinks come in disposable bags. Straws and spoons are the best utensils here. You decide on a stew for your first meal. You add some water and put it in a forced air convection oven to warm it. While you're waiting, you begin to play with the bag of juice. You poke a straw into the bag and give it a squeeze, sending the liquid out the open end of the straw. Surface tension keeps it from dispersing into a million drops, and instead, it forms into a floating ball. You stick your straw into the ball of juice and drink it up before it floats away. After that bit of fun, your meal is ready. It doesn't smell or look like any oven-baked dishes back home. Your stew is packed into an airtight plastic bag. With a pair of scissors, you cut open the bag. Very carefully, you scoop a mouthful right out of the package. The food sticks to your spoon. It's quite amazing. You bring it slowly up to your mouth and nose. It doesn't have a distinct smell, but the taste is familiar. Eating in space is nothing like on planet Earth. Your food can easily fly away. It's best to secure it to the table and eat one thing at a time. To keep yourself still while eating, you hook your feet into the rails that line the entire space station. Two of your colleagues have a bit of a game going. From opposite ends of the kitchen area, one sends bits of food floating towards the other, who has to catch it in his mouth without moving. Their best streak is 45 in a row. Dinner is a social activity. It's a wonderful time for sharing food, experiences, and hopes and dreams for the future. It warms your heart to know that real human connection isn't confined to the borders of the Earth. After finishing your meal, you let out a yawn. It's been a very eventful day. You wish your new friends a good night. Using the handles on the walls, you pull yourself slowly towards your sleeping quarters. It's small and similar to a phone booth in both size and shape. Inside, you have a sleeping bag. You could sleep in any orientation and not know the difference. But like most things on the space station, it's secured to the wall, so you don't bump your head in the middle of a restful slumber. Yawning, you slowly push yourself inside the sleeping bag, feet first. You turn off the light and pull the zipper up past your chest and shoulders so you're snug and secure. It's warm and cozy, yet so foreign. It reminds you of camping, sort of. It's definitely different than sleeping in your bed at home. Here, you can't feel the heaviness of your body or the way your body sinks into the soft mattress. Your sleeping bag is warm, but it doesn't provide the familiar comfort of covers laying gently on top of you. Your first day in space has not let you down. It's been full of new sights and experiences. Still, there are a couple of things that will always remain the same. The Earth is still rotating, and the sun still shines on part of it. Now, your breath is slowing down. And just like back home, your eyes close. You are feeling calm and relaxed. Each breath in is longer and softer than the last. Each breath out takes you closer to dreamland. But tonight, you won't just dream of space. You will live in it. Good night.